Today is Thursday, November the 7th, 307th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, we've got the sheriff and his underling with us this afternoon.
Yeah.
Mr. Downey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to introduce what's his name there?
Under Sheriff William Hansel. Yeah. He's.
Oh, we're going by William now.
Well, you can call him Bill. You can call him Billy, you know.
Yeah.
Or Under Sheriff Hansel.
Mr. Sir.
Mr. Sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Either one.
Yeah. He answers to all of the above.
44 caliber, sir?
No, I'm just a 40.
Oh, you're just a 40. Okay. This afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on. What is the responsibility of an under sheriff? Mike had that chance to understudy, I guess would be kind of the term, for the sheriff when Gary was the sheriff. Right. And we'll find out if Billy has political aspirations.
I'm anxious to hear his report.
Yeah. And the timing of those aspirations might be of interest as well.
There you go.
We'll figure it out when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Billy Hansel, Under Sheriff.
Thank you, sir.
Are the cards dried yet with the ink?
Not yet.
Okay. And Sheriff Mike Downey.
Thank you.
Yeah, coffee stain here. Cards.
Yeah, yeah. Old wrinkled tattered.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of goes through. No surprise, no surprise.
All right. Enough said.
Our quote this afternoon comes from Robert Browning. To do a good thing in the world, first you must know who you are and what gives meaning to your life.
Very good.
I know that's a little heavy for probably the rest of the show, but...
It works for me.
That's okay. That's good. What is the responsibility of an undersheriff, other than when the sheriff is out taking his cruises and his extended vacations and... market research efforts in other communities and running the shop. What is the job description of an undersheriff?
Well, the undersheriff is basically second command of the sheriff's office, and it has operational authority over the law enforcement branch and the corrections side. And if you picture the triangle, I'm right there, right under the sheriff. I am the top of the triangle of this big organization that helps run this organization and manages this huge organization at the sheriff's office.
I'm thinking, Mike, during the training for him, tell him not to use a triangle. Like you say triangle in Humboldt County. Normally, there's other associations to that. Yeah.
He's still learning.
Okay. Yeah. You know, you think you know this stuff from being a local.
Yes.
You know, it would register at some point in his time.
That's true.
But not so far.
Yes.
He's excited.
The magnitude of this thing, though, has got to be kind of intriguing because my understanding, you got division, and that's what the sergeants help out with and the lieutenants. And are you just kind of like riding the wild bull as an undersheriff? Because you can't really make the call because you got the sheriff. Okay? You can't do a lot of things because that's not your primary responsibility.
Well, let me answer that to a certain extent. He does have authority. You know, especially when I'm not in town, not in the office. Like he said, he has operational authority, and he has the authority to make decisions in my stead, based upon my philosophy and based upon our understanding of where I want to go with the organization. Probably the biggest juggling act in the whole thing is being able to make a decision, making sure that it is something that I agree with and that I can support that. And so, and I think based upon our discussions and based upon what we know of each other, I'm pretty confident that we can do that.
But he can't change the colors of the office.
No.
Some of those really significant, important decisions.
That's off limits.
That's right.
That's kind of what I thought.
That's right.
How long, Mike, did it take for you to understand what Gary wanted? Particularly now with Billy, because you're coming from a different department.
Yeah. Yes.
How long until you think you guys are going to be on the same wavelength, to the point where you're not going, now, what would he do? You just are reacting.
Well, different relationship. You know, obviously, Gary Phelps and I, we grew up in the organization together. You know, I worked with him a long time. We had understanding of philosophy. I knew where he was coming from long before I became undersheriff. And so we had a closer working relationship earlier on. Now, in this case, what we keep talking, Billy, day four.
Day four.
And I'm not disappointed yet. How's that?
That means you've ordered the right sandwiches so far. You haven't really teed them off yet?
So far, so good. Yes.
You know, and there's so many, Mike, that could fill in some of that information and get you to that point if you need it in the area. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those challenges that are out there. Mike, why did you choose Billy?
Well, you know, I made the statement a long time ago. I can make an easy choice or a hard choice. And I was looking out. I'm heavy into succession planning. I was looking at the future, where we're going with the organization. You know, I'm not going to be here forever, thank God. And there's a lot of people that are probably saying the same thing.
You know, Harpham tried to prove that point, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. But my philosophy is that I bring someone in who I feel can carry on with a good vision, the department, long after I'm gone. Now, whether he would run for sheriff at the end of my term or whether he would stay in the organization as an undersheriff, I mean, that's yet to be determined. But I needed to realize I had someone who was going to be around for a while, because many of the administrative staff level people now are around my age, and we're not going to be around forever. You know, we have to start bringing younger folks in with a different and fresher view of the future and be able to work this organization into that future.
Like working in the future, as an example.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
How'd the troops react?
I think so far, I mean, there are some people that are disappointed. I mean, it goes along with something like this. You know, to go out to the organization was a bold move. But I think so far it's been a good transition.
Day four.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with 6 treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late Spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:23. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey and Billy Hansel. Guys, when considering the future of the organization, Mike, you had said that one of the reasons you chose Billy was because of longevity, that you see that he's going to be around for a long time, consistency, things of that nature. How do you take a mature organization that has a whole bunch of knowledge of themselves as well as knowledge of the community, and then be able to transition it so there is no hiccup, there is no trip, there is no long learning curve? Is it bit at a time, or do you start grooming people early on and have folks that may not be that effective early on, but by the time the retirement happens, they move up and then they're into those positions?
Well, let me answer the first part of that, then I'll let Billy answer the second part. You know, one of the things that I looked at too is the fact that change is always good, but change is always hard at times. So by going outside the organization, I'm actually bringing change into the organization that I may not. Because the Sheriff's Department is very institutional. You know, we've done the same thing the same way with very minor changes along the way for 30 years that I've been there. Innovation tends to become less apparent by having the same people making the same decisions or growing up in the culture and making the same decisions all the time the same way they've always been made. So this was also an opportunity to bring in some fresh ideas to implement and help with that change.
Yeah,
you can't just do the head bob here, man.
No, it's not it.
Bobbleheads.
I'm going to butt in here and then answer a question or two. Okay, but within an organization, too, it's very important that we mentor our deputies, we mentor our sergeants, our lieutenants, and there's a certain amount of responsibilities with everyone in this organization. And with that, you know, we are challenging our deputies, we're challenging our sergeants to be the leaders of the department, be the leaders in the community. And so we're going to foster that to create an organization that can be sustained for the next 20, 30 years. And so that's what we're really looking at.
Mike, you've referenced or used the phrase outside of the organization for the last little bit. Now, for most of us, we might say, okay, it's a different car.
Right.
But we've heard about these linkages. Oh, I hate that word. Let me try that again. These relationships between the sheriff, this police department, that police department, everybody's kind of knows each other, common training, common terminology, talk about combining dispatch, all this kind of stuff. Have you really gone outside the culture? Have you really gone outside the organization with hiring Billy?
We have. And if you compare sheriff's offices with police departments, they're uniquely different. I wouldn't say there's vast differences, but they are uniquely different in the way that, in their philosophy, and the way they do things. We're both still law enforcement agencies, but our mission is still a little bit different. And along with that, philosophies coming from a PD, or in Billy's case, work for the district attorney as an investigator. He hasn't really experienced the sheriff's office till now. I mean, the inner workings. So by coming in from outside, with his experience being with those other agencies, he's seeing things that he's never experienced before.
Could you test drive him prior to bringing him on board?
Yeah, that's what a testing process is all about.
Well, yeah, but, you know, okay, you play that scenario and you take that test, and fine. I mean, you know, right. You've got a track record, or somebody's got a track record before you decide to even look at them. Is there a way that you can work with that, or how do you build your confidence level personally in the decision before the decision is made and implementation occurs?
Interesting. You know, I've known Billy for some time. Worked with him when he was at the DA's office, so I've had a chance to observe him for the last 10 years, 6 years, whatever. And so I've had that opportunity. And also, you know, in all fairness to him, when the testing process or the process started for recruitment, you know, I knew the other candidates from inside the organization. I've worked with them all my life. And I knew who they were. I knew their capabilities, and they're all very capable, no doubt about that. But I took the time to also, on a regular basis, we started meeting so I could talk philosophy, talk to him and find out a little bit more, get a more in-depth view of who he was and who he is and what his goals and desires and vision is.
So you did kind of test drive him?
Yeah, kind of.
Other than going along shotgun
on
responses?
Yes.
Right.
Trying to figure out a culture, identify what really is its strengths, what its weaknesses are, where the challenges are, or opportunities for improvement. Is that something that regularly goes on with the senior management team in the department, Mike?
Yes. It's a checklist system. You know, we have to check ourselves periodically along the way and make sure that we're staying within the guidelines of our visions and our goals and where we're going, and being able to check ourselves and make sure that the organization is healthy, for one, and it's going in the right direction, and that if we need to steer it in another direction, can we, and do we have the time to do it? It's like a large battleship out there. They take a long time to turn around, and if the culture is going one way, and to make those minor adjustments sometimes can take some time.
You mentioned earlier that the undersheriff's position has that ability.
Mm-hmm.
How long until it has the trust to have that ability executed and followed?
Well, you know, I have a certain level of trust now.
I'm at the organization, not you.
Oh, the organization. Mm. Oh. I think it's coming. And as time goes by, that trust will build.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey, Humboldt County Undersheriff Billy Hansel. You must have a bigger nameplate on your door than what he has, huh?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, my full name on there, too.
Yeah, oh, full name. Long. Yeah. Yes. Address. The whole nine yards, huh?
It's the longer nameplate.
Hey, what'd your dad think?
My dad loves it. He's very proud. He's enjoyed seeing me come back up to Humboldt County 10 years ago. And he just enjoys seeing my career kind of flourish. And
mom's okay, too.
And yes, I wouldn't have been here unless for my mom. So my mom really enjoys it. So
okay, yeah, cool.
Thanks.
Mike, as you're looking at what the involvement is of the community, whether supporting decisions, supporting the department, not supporting it, I know this is going to sound weird, but it doesn't matter.
Sure it does. Yeah. You know, let's face it. I'm political. I mean, I'm an elected official, so the support of the community is very important to me.
But you don't act political, otherwise nothing would get done, right?
Okay.
Well,
sounded good.
Yeah, no, I could go down that road, but I won't. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I really covet that support. I mean, it's kind of a landmark for us. It gives us those goal posts kind of things that shows we're doing a good job or not doing a good job. So community sentiment is very important, and the support of the community is very important to us.
What about media support? Does that matter?
Sure it does. Media support is important also. I mean, we see it on the national level and the state level too, where media can promote or crush an organization just by the way it's their relationship with the organization and how they present the news. And I'm not saying they present it in a biased way, or an unbiased way, but I'm saying that it depends on how your relationship with that media outlet and how transparent you are with them and how comfortable you are with them and how they perceive you and how you are presented in the community through their outlet.
Even a little dinkerdo area like ours?
Sure. You bet. It depends on the type of medium you're using, but I strive to have a good relationship with all the media for that very reason, just to show the positives of the organization. And I think Steve Nice, my PIO, he does a good job of representing the organization on that level. He's been very proactive about getting the news out to all news organizations in the county, and I think you'll find that in the last 3 or 4 years, or at least 2 years, that our reporting of incidences to the news and having it reported back to the public has increased greatly.
It is kind of frightening, though, getting all these drug busts with the fill in the blank in the form, and being handwritten in. Isn't it amazing how regular everything seems to be?
It's daily. I mean, there's drugs are all around the community, so we have daily complaints that come into our problem-oriented policing division, and we're out there trying to get them.
But you haven't figured out yet, like EPD has, how to have exploding meth houses. That hasn't happened with that same regularity.
Not that we know of.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they do a better job, and it's just gone.
It's a big county.
Yeah. You can only guess.
If the media support is critical, what about when the media gets in the way? and either report things that haven't been proofed or vetted or haven't had second source, so they may not be accurate, or some of the other things that some are want to do to try to get out in front to make a name right. for themselves.
I've had a few incidences like that in the last 3 years, you know, where there have been stories presented or about to be presented that it was built on half-truth, and the whole revelation of what happened is not there. Some of it is based upon personnel issues where I'm precluded by law to even talk about them. But yet, there have been some stories that have gone out there based upon just part of the story. And I've talked to some of my counterparts in the news and said, hey, you know, you don't have the full story here. Well, I know that, but we're presenting the news based upon what we have. So we've butted head a few times here and there, not a lot, but I still try to be as transparent and as open as I can with the news, whether it radio, TV, the printed news, whatever it is. I try to have a good relationship with all of them.
So there must be things that the media can do to muck things up for you if they have that intent.
Sure.
I know the CHP has had that in the past where they have some of their speed zones. Mm-hmm. And some broadcasters will decide this is part of what they're going to do for their community, and they start broadcasting movement. To me, I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, there's an ethical and a moral break on that one for me. Why our formats are the way that they are.
But I think
does that get in the way, or is that just me being super sensitive?
Sometimes it can. I can think back to, you know, 20 years ago when we had a big operation in the tri-county operation, right?
It's a triangle, Billy.
Yeah.
That's
it.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I mean.
He can't get the angle part. He's got the tri part. He's almost there.
Where Mendocino, Humboldt, and Trinity all come together there. We had all three counties there for a week, and we had National Guard and other helicopters there, and we raided out of there for a week. And in the evening, we'd listen to some of the radio stations reporting what we had done that day, where we had been, where we were possibly going the next day. And you know, some of it was pretty laughable as to what their perception was of what we were doing. And we've had over the years, I can remember going out, especially in Southern Humboldt, where a radio station was reporting our movements and where we're going. Well, okay, did that really impact us greatly? I haven't found where it was a great impact because, so what if you're going on Highway 36? It's a long highway. You know, where are they stopping? Is everyone along the highway now going to pull their marijuana or shut down their operations because there's a convoy of trucks going out there? No, it's like rolling the dice, you know. So it's more of a nuisance, I would think, to have that going on. But is it a big inconvenience where it has really fouled us up in something we're trying to do? It hasn't been that great, but it's a nuisance at times.
Yeah, I haven't heard too many busts where you talk about the plantations on wheels.
Right.
And it's portable.
Not yet.
I probably just injected an idea out there. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Billy Hansel and Mike Downey.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey and Billy Hansel. Guys, the last little bit, and it struck me this morning after hearing the newscast, the amount of, not only the propensity for us having drugs, duh, but it seems like every marijuana bust has got a meth connection and cash.
Yes.
Do those three things tend to go hand in hand almost all the time?
Not all the time, but when it comes to marijuana sales in the county, the price for marijuana is going down here. And so there are people that are looking to do something that's price is still steady. So some are also dealing methamphetamine. And, you know, we might see that more and more when people, you know, instead of getting out of the drug culture because marijuana is not becoming profitable anymore, then they might switch to heroin, trafficking in heroin, methamphetamine, and the like. Because
but
we
the
have
market, the market demand still has to be here.
It is, and so yeah, so we don't have to supply the East Coast with marijuana when you can sell methamphetamine here for roughly the same price, and you still make your riches. And the demand is huge here in Humboldt County. Heroin and methamphetamine is a huge problem. And
is, you know, they used to say it was because of the loggers. Taking speed, you know, to keep them going, the mill guys, the truck drivers. We don't have a lot of truck drivers anymore. The mills, yeah, don't we all wish, and the same with the lumbering community. Are these just people, this is now the drug of choice, and that's what they're going to get?
It's how they function. They're functioning. They're functioning on that. Those that are using it on a regular basis are just that. Their users probably don't have real substantial sources of income. We do have an increase in burglaries and thefts in the area. We have. I mean, those are all things that feed that kind of lifestyle.
Hey, speaking of that, how's the addition coming along?
Oh, that's a good question. We've the
new jail. Sorry,
yes,
I don't know if the sheriff brought you up to speed on that one or not.
1022. I know what it's all about.
1022.
Yeah.
Yes. No, today's 11-7.
No,
sorry.
Application was submitted yesterday with all the questions answered that needed to be answered in it, because we got some follow-up questions back. It was presented to the executive board for approval, I believe, last night for the approval process. We are in a good position from what I'm understanding, and we hopefully will hear something within the next week to 10 days, I would assume, as to whether our proposal goes forward, whether it's not good.
Goes forward to who?
It just goes forward to the next step, which would be the funding aspect. And once it's funded, we have to go through all our design review. We have to go through all the other things associated with it. I mean, this is a process that's not going to happen in a year. It's going to take some time, but we're going in the right direction.
Cool. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thank you.
So I suppose I'll be seeing Billy more regularly. And
you bet.
A little bit. Yeah, fine.
Yes.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.